I'm Danielle Rowley. I'm here with Derek Cooper, Chair of the Scottish Youth Parliament. Hi, Derek.
Hi there.
So, you met the Pope the other day and you're representing the Scottish Youth Parliament. So, if you could just, for people who don't know, tell me a bit about the Scottish Youth Parliament and your role as Chair.
No problem. Well, the Scottish Youth Parliament's a democratically elected body of young people who represent their peers, their constituents, at a national level. It's a voluntary organisation, and we're co-funded by the Scottish Government to deliver on young people's rights in line with the UN Convention and the Human Rights of the Child. We campaign on issues that are important to young people, either local or national, and our members from all over the country, from Shetland to the borders, are active in campaigning on local issues and national issues, and also as part of a collective body. We act almost as a pressure group, and I'm the chair of the organisation, so that means that I'm responsible for speaking on behalf of the organisation, managing the staff, promoting and networking for our campaigns, and generally being the figurehead of what is one of the most influential organisations for young people in Scotland.
How were you chosen to meet the Pope? How did that come about?
It's not entirely clear, but as far as I know, the Queen's staff sent out invitations to those who they best felt could represent a cross-section of Scottish society. So from that, I'll assume that I was representing young people. And the other people that I met there were from different charities or organisations. There was actually five groups of people split up to meet the Pope, and I was in the group that was education and young people. So there's people there from universities or from colleges and things to represent those institutions. And I was there to represent the Scottish Youth Parliament.
Brilliant. So you weren't sort of representing anything sort of religious or anything against the Pope, really just young people in Scotland?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we do obviously have members who are committed Catholics and in the same breath committed atheists and agnostics and so on. But it was there basically to represent the Youth Parliament and the young people of Scotland, nothing religious.
So many people were protesting the papal visit, and one of these reasons, the Pope and the Catholic Church's views on gay, lesbian, bisexual people, and the Scottish Youth Parliament represents a lot of these people and has a lot of LGBT members. So what's your opinion on this?
That's right. I mean, it's absolutely fair to say there was a huge amount of controversy surrounding the Pope's visit to Scotland and to Britain, and perhaps rightly so. I know that in terms of not just the Church's attitude to the use of condoms or towards gay people, but also the recent allegations of child molestation and so on have left a somewhat black cloud around the visit. And I think there's certainly room for controversy there, as we've seen. But I think given that, it's still a cause for celebration that the head of the biggest part of the Christian Church visiting the UK is still a cause for celebration. He is the head of an organisation of millions of people, incredibly important to Catholics and non-Catholics, actually, in Britain and around the world. And whilst I do personally disagree with some of his opinions and the Catholic Church's stances on things, and I'm sure many others would justifiably so, There are many others who don't, and whilst the Scottish Youth Parliament represents gay and bisexual people, myself being one of them, we also represent Catholics and Christians and people of a huge amount of faiths, and diversity is one of our key strengths in the Youth Parliament, and I think that would be naive to not think that Catholics and Christians should be included as part of that diversity, even if the opinions that are so prevalent in that church we don't agree with.
So at the event, you must have shaken many famous hands. There's quite a lot of people there. Who did you meet?
I did, you're right, I did. I talked at great length to the First Minister, Alex Salmond, to Annabel Goldie, the Scottish Conservative leader. I talked to Tavish Scott, the Scottish Liberal Democrat leader. I talked to, and I forget his name, the Conservative Shadow Secretary of State for Scotland before this recent election, David Mundell, that's it. I talked to him as well, along with a number of chief executives and heads of charities and things, fairly influential people. In fact, I was sitting, when I first arrived, I was sitting on a bench just beside the other guests as we were assembling for the Pope and the Queen to first arrive at Holyrood, and there was a lady next to me, and she seemed fairly normal, fairly down to earth, which was perhaps in contrast to a lot of the other guests who were clearly quite socially elite. And I was coughing, and she said, "Do you want a tissue?" And I said, "No problem, that's fine, thank you very much." And I introduced myself, but she didn't say who she was. So I said, "Sorry, what was your name?" And she said, "My name's so-and-so, I'm the Secretary of State for Wales." And so I thought, oh gosh, I didn't quite see that one coming. And sitting next to her was the Under Secretary of State for Wales, so I didn't take the tissue after all. But so yeah, there was lots of very well-known people there, and I shook a lot of famous hands.
So out of all of the people, famous and non-famous, that you met, what was the kind of atmosphere like? Were people really excited that the Pope was there? Were they quite nervous about meeting him and, of course, the Queen as well? What was the general atmosphere?
Well, I don't know if you saw it on the television, but when the Pope first came to Holyrood House, the invited guests were standing in the forecourt, just opposite where he and the Queen would stand. And at that point, it was fairly subdued, actually. I don't know if it was because of the time in the morning or just because people didn't quite realise the huge, enormous importance of the event at the time. So we were quite subdued, but then as soon as the Pope came along with his red sandals and his white robes, I think people started to really realise the importance of the event. And when we went round the back of the palace, there was 400 people, but only 100 got to meet the Pope and the Queen. And so when we, because I was part of that 100, stood in front of them when they were making the speeches, I think everyone really began to get very excited. And when the Pope and the Queen came round the guests to introduce themselves, just before they came to shake hands and things, you could see people visibly almost shake because they realised, oh gosh, he's coming. But yeah, it was a great event, and I think everyone really recognised that.
So when you did meet the Pope, what was he like? You know, did you feel like you're in the presence of greatness? He's obviously quite old. Was he quite frail, or what was he like?
He was far less frail than I thought he would be. I shook his hand, and we talked briefly about his visit to a group of young people the next day in Twickenham. I think it was a Catholic school he was visiting. And he seemed a nice man. I mean, he actually, it's quite funny, he couldn't really hear me properly, so he kind of asked questions that weren't relevant to the conversation, but I let him away with that. But no, he wasn't that frail, and his English was fairly good, well, compared to my expectations anyway. And yeah, he seemed like a nice man. He didn't spend too long with each person, but there was around 100 or so people that were ready to meet him, so he seemed really nice. And the Queen also gave everyone a lot of time, and we talked about the mundane things like the weather and what a nice day for it was, but she seemed lovely. And I also met Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, Prince Philip, and he was talking away as well. He was really friendly. He gave everyone a bit more time, I think, but I think that's possibly because people weren't quite as keen to meet him as the Pope and the Queen.
Yeah. And how do you think the papal visit will affect Scotland? Do you think it will have a positive outcome?
Well, actually, it's really interesting to note that the Pope isn't visiting Wales or Northern Ireland. He only visited Edinburgh, Glasgow, I think Birmingham, and kind of on the route down there in London as well. So he's given quite a lot of precedence to what is a fairly small nation in the scheme of Great Britain. And I think that it's great that that's being recognised. And for Catholics in Scotland, I think that'll be really important. And it'll leave a legacy. I heard Annabel Gildee, who's a Scottish Conservative leader, talk about how she feels this will be written in the history books of Scotland, and you know, today really was an important event for Scotland, even for non-Catholics, and I think that's true. I think it's hugely important.
So obviously you were there representing young people, and in the media there was a lot of talk about how young people aren't really bothered, they're a bit apathetic about the Pope, they just see him as a religious man, some people don't even know who he is really. Do you think that that will change the way that Scottish young people view the Pope and religion, or do you think it won't really have an impact?
I'm not entirely sure it will. Without being cynical, I think that whilst it was a great historic event for Scotland and you know, absolutely fantastic that he spent so much time in the two big cities of Scotland, I don't know if it'll make a huge impact to young people who are agnostic or atheist or haven't really engaged with religion. Whilst it'll be recognised and it's been given a fair amount of media attention, the Catholic Church, in my humble opinion, would need to engage with debate and discussion around their principles and values. It's seen by many, and perhaps fairly, as a fairly archaic and backwards institution. And I think that the only way you'll get young people engaged in that type of religion or that particular religion is to open itself up and to open up its archaic and backwards practices and recognise the huge difference of opinion that exists in Scotland. I heard the Pope talk in his speech about the danger of aggressive atheism, secularism, and I think that was a quite a bad point to make, really, because the Catholic Church has always strived to have more people, young people and of all ages, involved in its teachings, and you know, their stance is that everyone's a Catholic if you live a good life, and you know, we want to open ourselves up and make ourselves more accessible so more people will join our faith. And yet we seem to almost dismiss what is backed up scientifically now as a fairly significant argument against the existence of a God. And whilst, you know, we shouldn't discount religion at all, we should, I think, the Catholic Church, to engage more young people, perhaps needs to open itself up and allow the debate rather than dismissing it as, you know, aggressive atheism.
Sure. So what do you think you got out of meeting the Pope and the Queen, of course, or the whole event?
Well, I mean, it was a huge event and it was an absolute privilege to be invited, and I did really enjoy it. I got interviewed by BBC Radio as well, so it was great for some media skills, and obviously it's something you'll never forget, meeting the Pope and the Queen and Prince Philip all in one day. So I think that's the main thing. The Pope also gave, from the Vatican, gold coins with his face in it in a red kind of leather box. And I think that'll be a nice memento to hand down to grandchildren and so on. But yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic event and something that I'm sure many people would love to do, and I'm just lucky enough to have been given that chance.
Brilliant. So one final question. If you could have asked the Pope anything you wanted to, a cheeky little question, what would you have asked him?
I would, there probably is an answer for this somewhere, and I've just not looked it up, but I'd really like to know why he chooses to wear bright red sandals and a cream gown, because I don't think it's particularly fashionable, but I'm sure there's a reason there. But if I could have and if I had the time, I would have loved to have asked him that.
Yeah, that's your fashion conscious side coming
out. Absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for meeting with me, Derek.
No problem.
Hopefully I'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.